The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Friends, welcome once again to my program, Afternoons with Mike, heard across the Shepherd Radio Network. Today, we are taking a pause from our normal programming and our normal way of doing things to kind of draw attention to the fact that May is a very special month for a bunch of people. It's Mental Health Awareness Month. And with that, we have learned over the years that there are lots of people dealing with different things that fall under this umbrella. And I'm able to welcome today to the program Richard Alderman, who is the worship director of First Baptist Church in Oxford. And along with Richard, sitting right next to him in the studio, is Andrew Kropp, the senior pastor. We had Andrew on recently, and Andrew, you're one of our advertisers in the sense that you're one of our programs that we have on Sunday mornings. The church has a ministry, and we get to hear your preaching every week. That's awesome. Welcome back, Andrew.
Thanks, Mike. It's really great to be back. Thanks for having us back.
Oh, it's our joy to have you back. And Richard, I'll turn over to you for a moment. You're part of this church staff as well.
Yes, sir.
A worship pastor.
Well, we'll call worship director.
Worship director. I said okay.
Right. That's okay. Yeah, a lot of people have been trying to tag me with that pastor connotation, but that's just not in the call yet.
It's so. Not there yet. And by that, you're... By that, are you hired by the church full time?
Yes, sir.
So you do work for the First Baptist of Oxford as the worship director, and you—that means you're a musician, and you're my kind of guy.
Yeah.
I like that.
When I saw the guitar on the wall when I walked in, I knew you were my kind of guy.
Yeah. So. You know, we guitar. It is true. I've got a bumper sticker that says, "Love one wife." Many guitars.
That's right.
So
those are words to live by.
That's right. And a good friend of mine is Doyle Dykes. He's a professional guitar player, and he has this great song called Guitar Poor, which it has that most famous guitar line in it, Richard. It said, "How many guitars do you need?" His wife asked him that in the song, and the answer is one more. That's it.
Right.
Just one more. And that answer is always the same, no matter how many guitars you have.
That's right.
Oh, that's great to have both of you guys here with us in the studio today as we talk about this issue, which has absolutely nothing to do with either guitars or worship or, for that matter, even the preaching of the gospel, which we know is the ultimate need that every human being has. We all need the gospel. And the Lord is a gracious God who opens up the gospel to his children, and we're so grateful. And our job, as those of us that are pastors, and I'm a former pastor myself, and Andrew, for you as the lead pastor at this church, and Richard, for you as the worship director, every time you get up to sing, we are privileged to sing the gospel. We're privileged to preach the gospel.
Absolutely.
And I believe that every believer who is listening right now, they're called by God to live the gospel.
Yes.
But, you know, there are needs that are under that still people deal with every day. And that's what this program is about. Tell us a little bit of your story, if you will.
Well, I started singing about Jesus when I was 5 years old. My grandfather had a family group, and he needed a tenor singer, so he started teaching me how to sing high girly notes. And so we traveled all over the Southeast for a long time and sang. At 12 years old, I finally met the man who I sung about for all those years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I entered into a relationship with Jesus. You know, I learned that a lot of good people do a lot of good things, but if you don't have the blood of Christ applied to your life, then it doesn't really matter what good things you do. You're still separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
And on I-75, coming from one of those performances, I looked at my grandfather when at the age of 12 years old and told him I needed to accept Jesus as my Savior, and we pulled off the side of I-75 just outside of Tifton, Georgia, and I have my Damascus Road experience right there.
Right on I-75.
Right on I-75. Wow. So anytime I travel up and down that road, which we used to travel a lot, I always got to see and revisit the place where I met Jesus. Mm. So it was a very special thing. Anytime someone's new in the car with us going up there, I always make sure to point it out. Right there is where I, you know, so it's exciting. It's still, 30 years later, it's still just as exciting as it was the day it happened. So, to know that I have life after this one, and, mm-hmm. To know that I have a Savior who'll be with me no matter what I go through. when I, first learned about mental illness, was actually when I myself started struggling with mental illness. I was, misdiagnosed several times, before landing on the proper diagnosis of having major depressive disorder. That was a life altering experience for me. All the years that I had spent traveling and singing, the gospel, then as an adult, seemed to be like, I kind of had this why me God type of a thing. Why would you put me through this? And then you start to feel as a Christian, or I did, and maybe some folks out there can relate to this. You start to feel as if, well, I can't be used anymore. I'm broken. This is this is my death sentence, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not have to be that way. And it took me a while to come to the conclusion that God uses broken people all the time, mm-hmm. all day long to do amazing things. I just needed to be reminded of my own experience. And seeing that, you know, as just like Paul met the Lord on Damascus, I met the Lord at 12 years old on I-75. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the people in the Bible who persecuted Christians. You know, what he did. And to have this man be able to have that change, I knew right then that as I remembered that God could use this. And so instead of being ungrateful, I started being grateful for the problems that I had. And I knew that God could use it as a platform. And so I chose to, when I came on board at First Baptist Oxford, I asked Pastor Andrew if we could do something to introduce a mental health support group through the church. So that's what we've done with All People Mental Health Ministries at our church in First Baptist in Oxford. And through that, I got this crazy harebrained idea to get a degree in Christian counseling. So I'm actually in the middle of doing that right now through Liberty University. So, we're just excited to be able to be here today to talk about the blessings that mental illness can bring. And I say blessings, and I know a lot of people are going, this dude has lost his mind. And you know what I have? I lost my mind a long time ago for Christ. It's a blessing to go through these things, because then you can reach out and help someone who is in turn going through something similar or that you know about. You can point them to the same peace and comfort that you got from God and His Word and the people around you,
mm-hmm.
who support you. You can point them to that same direction. And that's really what we're trying to do. We are not mental health experts. We are not licensed psychologists. We are Christians. We want to love people through their illness.
You know, and I think even those that would be an expert in the sense of their training and their studies and going to college would still probably say, we've got a lot to learn in this field, because more than just a few details are needed in order to give a diagnosis on someone's intricacies of their mind, right. and the way they think and the way they act and all of that. So I love the fact that most of the counselors that I've seen that are in this field are really open and desirous to continue to learn, and they don't see themselves as a know-it-all type of individual.
Right.
And that's really important. Tell us a little bit about your own initial experiences. What were some of the things that were going on in you, Richard, that let you know that you needed some help on this?
Well, my wife let me know I needed the help in it. I mean, it's really, from a self perspective, you're kind of blind to it, especially where I was at. We were singing somewhere across the country every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, mm-hmm. gospel music, Christian music. Here I was presenting the gospel, and you have all these people looking back at you like, man, he's really got it all together for God. And I didn't even realize through the things that were going on, what really was going, how I really was being. It was a lot of moments of highs. I mean, you would be way up here. You would get nominated for some award and you'd be like, man, that's just a blessing. And then it crashes down. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I had this roller coaster of emotions and I couldn't figure out why I felt that way. And then it started to affect my family and it started to affect my walk with God. And then it started to affect the relationship between my wife and I, and her and I basically had what we call a come to Jesus meeting. And she said, you know, we have to get this fixed. This was after several misdiagnoses.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what I had happen was you had people who were just throwing these things out there. And like you said, I don't even think we've really experienced the cusp of what mental illness really is. As far as the way that we study it and the way that, and the information that's out there, I think, let's put this in perspective. I think if we had as much mass media production about mental illness as we do COVID-19, that we would have a lot more educated people. COVID-19 is a very dangerous thing. Mental illness is the leading cause of death in the United States every single year. And people don't understand why. So I think if we had all the same coverage and all the same people pushing in the same direction that we do for this current pandemic that we're in, for the pandemic that we've been in for years and years and years and years, then I think we could see real change. For myself, I didn't see real change until after I had gone through all those cookie cutter programs, so to speak, mm-hmm. and then God put me on my back.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife looked at me and she said, you have a decision to make. She said, you can do what's right by God. And that's by doing what's right by your family and go get the help you need. She said, or you can go at it alone. And I chose right then and there not to go at it alone because I knew that nothing I could do would ever be able to take me to where I needed to be.
Would these problems be manifesting you in the sense of what you described as high highs and low lows? Is that what would happen to you?
Yeah, it's really weird. You would wake up one morning and you would feel like that there was nothing on the face of the earth that you couldn't accomplish or do. And then by the middle of the day, you realize that you're not really as valuable as what you think you are. And you just come crashing down. And it's not because of anything that one person says or any interaction. It's the mind. It's the way that the mind was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And mine all stem back from childhood issues. I had one person in my life who really pushed me and directed me toward God. And that was my grandfather. Everyone else in my family, they really still to this day, the ones who are still living, run from the fact of mental illness. They think that it's a sign of weakness, that it's just a stigma.
A generation ago, that would be
yeah.
pretty much normal, I would think.
Absolutely. And that's the one thing that I think we're starting to see the church transfer out of the stigma of it. But now we're going to more of a hybrid stigma. Whereas, yes, we're understanding that mental illness works, but we're saying things to people who suffer like, you know, the more and more that you read God's word, you know, the more that this will start to go away. I agree that reading God's word is essential
mm-hmm.
to dealing with mental illness and surviving with it. But what a person who has a mental disorder or mental illness hears when you say that is that you don't read your Bible enough.
Mm-hmm.
It gives them that false sense of, it gives them that sense of worthlessness again. And that's thing. We can say a lot of things as Christians that we think are helpful, and they actually are presented in a harmful manner. And I don't say everything the right way. Trust me, I've been married 18 years. My wife will tell you right now that I don't say everything the right way. But I think as a church, it is important that we don't just say, okay, yeah, we realize that it's a condition, And we want to be there to help people. I think as a church, we need to help people the way that Jesus mm-hmm. would have helped people. And that's by, first of all, sharing the gospel with them the minute that they walk through the door. Because in any instance, Jesus in the Bible, in any instance where he gave healing or anything like that, the gospel was shared first and foremost. So I think that that's what we as Christians should do. Share the gospel. Lead them to Christ if they don't know Christ. Then we can work on helping them to understand where their healing comes from. Mm-hmm. Their healing doesn't come from the doctor or the medication alone. All those things had to be instituted from the beginning of time. And those things are instituted by God. So that's, with me, I had to come to that conclusion. Even though I knew it, I had to. And my wife is my hero.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she saved my life. Mm. There was a time when it was about to be ended several times, and she saved my life.
Wow. You know, we thank God for those that are in our lives that love us and put up with us. There's that there's that endurance that sometimes our spouses go through, and I'm grateful to God that they do that. You know, one of the things before we take a break here, Richard, to finish this out, one of the things that I believe is so important for all friends, for spouses, for those that are working alongside yes. someone that they might see that's going through these kinds of things like what you were dealing with is, first of all, before judgment is made, to love and have compassion. Yes. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. That's what Jesus would do. So we're to model ourselves after Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus would show love and compassion. And I mean, that's what we should be. And a lot of times that's hard for us to do as fleshly human beings.
How many years ago has this been since that first diagnosis?
Almost 7 years.
All right. So that would be inside, I would think, the window of time that a different attitude about all of this
yes.
developed. Mm-hmm. And there, I know, was a time when I was younger. Again, most people who were dealing with depression, if they were dealing with it, they would never let you know about right. it. And oftentimes people found out way too late
right.
because those people at times would do the extremes. And I'm so grateful that there are avenues of help. And while we certainly don't want to make this problem more than it is, it needs to be made what it is.
Right.
And we need to look at what we can do
sure.
in order to bring awareness and bring change. And by God's grace, that's what we're going to see happen. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. I've got with me Richard Alderman, Worship Director, and Andrew Kropp, Senior Pastor. We're going to hear from Andrew in a moment when we come back about some of the things the church is doing and things the church can do going forward to help people who are dealing with these issues. That's when we return. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
In the studio with me today, Richard Alderman and Andrew Kropp, both are part of the church that is on our stations in Gainesville and also Ocala. On Sunday mornings, it is First Baptist of Oxford. We talked about Oxford being a community that is right near the villages. And so you're in a very well-known area. I think probably when it comes down to retirement communities in America, the villages would probably take the cake. They're the number one.
Yeah, they certainly seem to be the one people recognize the most.
Yeah.
You mention the name to people and they know what it is for the most part, and for good reason. It is big, it's growing,
mm-hmm.
and people seem to really enjoy it there.
Well, anyone who travels on the Turnpike have recently seen the villages exploding on the Turnpike there, where I guess this would be now down toward Orlando from 301. But there's the crossover now. I think it is actually 301 that actually crossed over. And now development is happening on the south side
yep.
of the Turnpike for the villages. So it's a growing thing.
Oh, yeah. It's expanding all over the place, which
yeah.
means that more businesses are coming, more young people are coming to work those businesses and hospitals and everything that's around. So the whole area has just really grown from the what I was told not too many years ago was cows and tomato patches, yeah. Watermelon patches. So it's certainly changed.
Yeah. How has this whole topic that Richard's been talking about in our previous segment and the issue in large of mental health awareness and help for those who are suffering as a senior pastor, and you are a young guy, so I know that you've grown up with more awareness than people my age would have had or would have even, I think it's fair to say, been open to. Mm-hmm. And yet in this generation, the kids, as we mentioned in the first segment, are not at all ashamed or fear that it's that much for them of a stigma, as you said, Richard, but yet in a lot of the world, it still is. So you had to deal with this from a different standpoint of being the senior pastor of a church. Mm-hmm. When Richard comes to you and brings this, what, tell us about how you kind of receive the news or the idea of a ministry like this.
Yeah, I can't remember how long ago it was when we first talked about it, but I knew Richard's story and I had heard it, and I hope people had a chance to hear it on the last segment, because every time I hear Richard's story, it's just a blessing to hear all that God has done in his life. And when he first talked to me about doing something for mental health at mm-hmm. the church, I loved the idea, because like you said, growing up, it was a more prominent thing. My generation, they talk about mental health a lot, but we don't talk about it a lot in the church. In the church, there is still that stigma about mental health that you kind of bury it, or that it means that your faith isn't strong enough. And it is true that there are times we can go through seasons of depression that's based on our situation, or as Christians, it's based on unrepentant sin. But we also know that there is a scientific side to depression for many people, which is chemical imbalances, difficulties that they are going through. And so we know that there's a better way to help people who are going through that. And we wanted to let people know you don't have to be alone. So Richard came to me with this idea of, hey, let's do this. Let's have a group for people who can journey through it together so that they realize, one, this isn't something that shows that you aren't a believer or that you don't have strong faith, but shows them that that there is comfort that's there for you, that the Lord is here with you through it, that he's going to be with you through it, and that other believers can walk through this with you, that this is a journey you go through. So we actually talked at the very beginning about having one group. We were going to use a curriculum through, help me if I get this wrong,
The Grace Alliance.
Grace Alliance, mm-hmm. Thank you. Through Grace Alliance, and we like their curriculum because it blends both scripture and science together. Mm-hmm. It takes both of those things, so we think both of those are important for everyone. And so we said, let's have one group for those who are going through mental health issues so that they can know they're not alone, journey through this. Before day one of even starting it, we had all of a sudden started with three groups. So now we've got a group for those who are going through mental illness. Then we have a family grace group for people who are taking care of those going through mental illness, because they too need support as they walk alongside someone struggling with that. And then we also added a group for people with PTSD through Crew Military. But Richard first presented this to me, and I really loved the idea because, again, I knew growing up that it is a prevalent thing, but not in the church. It's something that people don't talk about in the church. And I loved the idea of having something. And the reason I was so excited to do it too was because of Richard's story. Mm-hmm. I do think this is something a lot of pastors and churches need to start bringing into their congregations for those who are struggling. I knew the benefit that we had, as Richard mentioned earlier, is that because he has gone through this, he can pour into people. He mentioned that people who have struggled with this can reach out to others who are dealing with it. And I knew the one blessing we would have is, as we put this program together, as we put this group together as a church, Richard's story, his journey, and his continued journey would be an encouragement to other believers. And I knew that if he was the one leading it, this was going to be something God really blessed for people. And it's been a blessing as we've started it to see people recognize, hey, I'm not alone in this. Mm-hmm. And God is still for me. And not only that, there are other Christians who are struggling with this, which means that I don't have to wake up every day and think that I'm resigned to this and that this is who I am and that I'm just going to be broken and there's no point, but there's a purpose in it. And so I've just loved every minute of it since Richard brought it to me. The church has been big supporters of it. Everybody in the church has really been behind us on this.
What kind of curriculum or a structure did you guys start it off with?
I'm going to let Richard answer that one. He could speak more to that.
So we went through the Grace Alliance. They helped get us curriculum. It's basically support groups. That's all they are. They're not a replacement for therapy. They're not a replacement for a medication. They're not a replacement for a general doctor. We have facilitators who come in. They study the material ahead of time, and they go through and lead the groups through the material itself. We do a Living Grace class, which is those who struggle with mental illness, a Family Grace class, which is those who have loved ones or they take care of people who struggle with mental illness, which my wife is the facilitator of because she has firsthand knowledge.
Lots of experience.
Yes, she does. And then we have our PTSD crew military group, which is one that is probably the most difficult to get people involved in as far as to come and be part of. The reason why I think you have a lot of law enforcement, military, first responders, they feel like that they have to just shoulder all this, all these issues that they have on their own. And we have an exceptional leader in Lee Miller from our church who leads that group. He is a former Army veteran, and he is just, he pours his heart and soul into just helping people and reaching out with people who suffer from PTSD as a result of battle and things like that. So we try to cover as many parts of the spectrum as we can. But at the same time, making sure, that the gospel is first and foremost in everything we do. We have a bridge class that is actually going to start, now that we're into the month, we start back. We have a bridge class that's starting actually that's going to take people from the Living Grace group and the Family Grace group and put them in together in a bridge group. That way we can learn from each other. One of the most important conversations my wife and I had early on was I needed to understand how she felt and she needed to understand how I felt. So I think this is going to be a very important thing to be able to have kind of a mediator there. And you have two sides who experience it very differently to come together and actually work on, you know, not only themselves, and all that, because I mean, you get things like caregiver fatigue. I mean, that's a real thing in anything. I mean, we have some folks in our church who are battling some massive major illnesses right now, whether it be cancer, whether it be diabetic, you know, severe diabetes. Well, mental illness is one of those types of illnesses. You know, nobody ever who has cancer says, you know, I'm cancer. They don't say that. They say, I have cancer. But a lot of folks, you know, just take someone who suffers from clinically diagnosed bipolar, because there's a difference between self-diagnosing or this is what my mom told me I had to actually getting the diagnosis from a licensed medical professional. But you will have a lot of people walking around, well, he's bipolar. No, he has bipolar.
Now, this brings up a question that I think would help a lot of people. When you hear mental illness, it would seem to me that a generation ago, that people would put that kind of a diagnosis into, well, they are forever, ever in that block. In other words, people who have cancer can have surgery and be well and be healed. And I'm wondering if one of the obstructions that's happened with a lot of people in the past would be, do they believe that what you just said, I'm dealing with mental illness, is there a hope for them that they will come to a point where they're not going to be dealing with it?
Absolutely. There's a hope for it. I know personally, because I feel like God has spoken to me through it, that I prayed for divine healing for a number of years from this. I've had family members, my wife, my kids, my church family pray for divine healing for this. And I feel like that God uses my situation to help other people. So, and I'm okay with that. I know that my healing comes when I meet my Savior, and I'm okay with that. that's the hope that we have to instill. I think what we lose sight of as the church is continuing to instill that hope in our brothers and sisters who we know are struggling, because that is when everyone's ultimate healing comes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my wife had three major surgeries in 2019. I wasn't sure, and she wasn't sure, her doctors weren't sure if she would be here in 2021. She is. I'm very thankful for that. God used technology and medication and divine intervention to heal her and keep her here. But those are physical ailments that, like you said, can be operated on. They can be taken out. Mm-hmm. They can be adjusted or sutured or whatever you want to call it. The thing that I think we miss out on as Christians and non-Christians alike is seeing this as a blessing instead of a curse. It is not a curse. I think if we would focus more on fulfilling the Great Commission, we would be less focused on ourselves and what we're going through, and actually see God use our situation to impact the lives of people around us who are lost and dying and going to hell every day.
Is it too much from your experience to say that a generation ago, people would look so down on people who were dealing with things like depression that they would almost put them into a situation of a second place citizen?
It's not too much to say that. I think that that is exactly. Well, I'll put it to you like this. My family's, I'll talk from personal experience because that's what I know. When the person who supported me most in my life passed away, and my grandfather, I was exiled because of my condition, which I didn't even know I had a condition at that moment. And I was exiled because I, going back and looking over it and talking about it and thinking about it and all these things, and reflecting on all the things that happened in that part of my life, I saw that the conversations I were having were not being taken seriously by the people around me. So it was as if I was pushed out because they didn't want that association to come back on the family name, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. I mean, that's their prerogative. Them and God have to deal with each other on that. It hurts. It's sad. It's sickening sometimes. But at the same time, I'm a part of a much, much, much bigger plan. And that's, you know, my ending is not here.
Isn't it amazing how hope can change the heart of somebody that's Absolutely. Going through this? And they feel like, number one, I'm not alone. Number two, there are people who are for me.
Right.
Because I think when you're dealing with depression, especially depression, there can be this feeling that there is no hope for you and you're a burden to everybody around you. And they're putting up with you.
Yeah.
That's a lie that I believe that the enemy brings.
Absolutely. We're at war between us and the enemy, and that war starts in our mind. And for people that suffer with mental illness, it's that much worse. It's magnified to like the 10th power, so to speak, to use math as an idea. But I'm thankful that the day when I was 12 years old, back there on I-75, and I gave my life to God, that when I made that decision, you know, Romans 8:1 tells me that there's no condemnation. There's none in Jesus. He looks at me the same as he looks at the most soul-winningest preacher that's on the face of this earth right now. He looks at me the same. I'm his child. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what our groups try to instill into the minds and the hearts of all who attend, is that we're God's child first.
What's the favorite thing about the program that you have at First Baptist Oxford that helps people like this? What would you say is number one?
My favorite thing about it is, at the end of every class, we go over the full armor of God. I think that it's a very important thing to remember those verses from Ephesians on how we deflect everything that the enemy tries to throw at us. And we always pay special attention to that helmet of salvation because it guards our minds. Mm-hmm. So that's my favorite part of it.
Yeah, the whole way of thinking, the whole way of approaching thought about this, it really is something that people who are dealing with depression have to deal with, and they wake up with it, don't they? It's just like it's always there.
Yeah, it's a never-ending battle in this life, mm-hmm. and that's what we got to keep our focus on. This life is not the end-all, say-all for us.
Mm. There's hope, my friends. We're going to be back with my guest today, Andrew Kropp, senior pastor at First Baptist Oxford. Also, Richard Alderman, who is the worship director. We'll be back with them in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by our good friends at Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. We'll be right back.
Have you been considering a new career path? Do you miss that feeling of making a real difference? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando can help you get there. And you can find out more in person on Saturday, May 22nd at 10 a.m. This free event gives you a chance to see all that you can become through Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. PBA's Orlando campus is just off I-4 next to the Mall of Millennia. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
Back again with our final segment with my guest today, Andrew Kropp, senior pastor at First Baptist Oxford, and Richard Alderman, the worship director there. It's really been great to talk about these issues of mental health, and May is Mental Health Awareness Month. It's always so good to talk about things. First of all, when you talk about them in the open, people who are dealing with some of these issues in the private, and it's not yet known, it oftentimes hits them and gives them immediate hope, because we all know misery loves comfort. And people who are really dealing with something in misery, they are looking for hope. And when they hear about a person like yourself openly say, I dealt with that, I've gone through that. And when I first met you this morning, you said, I'm a survivor mm-hmm. of that. Yeah. I like that. And I think it gives people hope when they hear it.
Well, a lot of people don't understand that mental illness can become terminal just like any other illness can. And I think when we look at it like that, people start to get this, they get to understand the severity and the significance of what it can be. Looking, you know, back on our groups and things like that, one of the things that we're hoping to be able to do is to make it a little more comfortable for people to address their situations. And by that, you know, you have a lot of people who say, I don't want to come into a group setting where people can see me and things of that nature. So one of the things we're going to be doing very soon, is offering a virtual support group where there is actually a program out there, some software out there that, can allow us as individuals to not be seen by anybody else on it, but just be heard.
Hmm.
That's all. And you don't have to use your real name. You don't have to do any of those things like that. Only thing we want people to do is to be able to feel comfortable enough to say, okay, this is what I'm dealing with. So we can start to open up the avenues of help to them. We can point people to counselors. I think it's an important statistic to know that 55% of the counties in the United States do not have one practicing psychiatrist.
Hmm.
55% of the counties in the United States, there are no practicing psychiatrists.
But, and here would be another statistic, and I don't know how this would ever be measured, but would the psychiatrists that would be there, that's not to say that everyone would take the same approach or the That's same correct. Attitude or the same practice, because I think this is still so new to so many yes. practices and kind of forms of treatment that there's probably not a commonality
right.
or a standardized way of treating these problems.
Right. And at the beginning of it, you know, I was just told by the person who finally gave me a correct diagnosis, and I didn't just take that person's word for it because of the previous experience that I had had. I went and got another diagnosis from another person in another place, completely different from where, and they like, yeah, this is it. So the one thing that both of those individuals told me is you just need to start communicating about it. We don't care if it's by telephone, by text message, by just start talking about
mm-hmm.
it. When you have these issues, start talking. Just whatever's in your mind, just start talking. And that's what we want to help people with by bringing these things virtually as well. Just come and talk. We don't have to know who you are, where you live. You can be in Canada on one of these things. We just want this to outreach and to reach out to as many people as possible. And that being said, we want to take this ministry and not just be selfish at First Baptist Oxford and keep it to ourselves. We want to put it in other churches. If churches don't have an idea of what to do to get a mental health support group started, they can call us. We'll go to their church. We'll set up a workshop. We will help them install this program for them. And that is a no cost thing. This is our ministry. This is what we want to do. It's high time that we start breaking down denominational lines when it comes to the mental well-being of people. And this doesn't only fit in a Baptist church, a Southern Baptist church, an Independent Baptist church, a Church of God, Pentecostal. It fits Christians as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Children of God need to be there for children of God and those who are not children of God. That's our whole purpose.
One of the things that you mentioned, in fact, you brought in a coin. You talked about this in the last segment. This coin is beautifully minted, and it is on the full armor of God. And you guys give this out, I'm sure, to all of the participants.
Yes.
And what do you find? I can only imagine how meaningful it is. I mean, it's got some weight to it. So yeah. People are going to know they've got this in their pocket.
Yeah, we've actually had a lot of people say that they put it on their nightstand. So it's the first thing that they see when they wake up in the morning, and it's the last thing they see before they go to bed. Me personally, I keep it in my pocket because anytime I reach in my pocket for my keys or, I have three kids, so I'm reaching in my pocket constantly to give money.
That's right.
But you know, I'm reminded, you know, that's there, you know what I mean? Let's not confuse it. This is not an idol. This is just a reminder of who we are supposed to look toward. And that's God and His Word.
Mm-hmm.
And these words engraved on this coin, you know, they mean a great deal to the people who come to our meetings because in our support groups, because they see it in action every single Thursday night when they come. They see it in action. And how they see it in action is that we don't strive or deviate from God's Word when it comes to this. If people say, I've never seen anywhere in God's Word where there's, you know, mentions of depression and all these different things. Read the book of Job. Just pick a psalm and start reading it.
Right.
I heard a preacher on YouTube one time, and I wish I could remember his name, but he said he believed wholeheartedly that David suffered from a form of depression. I thought that was a very unique perspective. You know, and so if you want to kind of get a gauge on where the Bible stands, just start in those two instances and then go on to the life of Christ and what it was like to, if you ever feel like an outcast, there is a gentleman who walked the face of this earth for 33 years, who was the biggest outcast the world's ever seen, and he died for us. So if you ever feel like an outcast because of the way you are or what you deal with or whatever, just remember, Jesus was an outcast as well. And, you know, it's only through and by His blood that we're saved, healed, redeemed, we can call heaven. So we put this coin in action to just make sure that people remember that whether they see it when they wake up on their nightstand in the morning or whether they feel it in their pocket every day, it's, you know, that's just a reminder of who we have on our side.
You know, I was thinking about Psalm 73 and the Psalm of Asaph, where it starts off where he's looking around. And I think this is a common problem that a lot of people who are dealing with depression, especially, but other forms of mental issues, that they are looking at, and they're comparing themselves to other people. And that's what Asaph was doing. So that's a common problem. But that happens when we are locked away in isolation. If we become isolated from even the Word and the encouragement that the Word is intended to bring, then it can open up to us a whole avenue of problems. And that's what a lot of people are dealing with. So one of the things that your group is doing, it's making them feel included. And that in itself is a huge benefit.
Everybody wants to belong. There is a, you know, there is a sense of wanting to belong. I mean, that's our inherent nature. We want to feel like we're important. There are a lot of people say, I don't care what anybody thinks. Well, that's a lie from the devil.
Mm-hmm.
They do care. If they didn't care, that really would have never entered their mind in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's, we just want to make sure that people understand that this church that we worship at, and we have the greatest pleasure to serve. When you come to this church, it doesn't matter what condition you come. We just want you to be there and you to experience the love of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we want.
And thank God for the healing that can come. Andrew, can you give us a little bit of a viewpoint about what you would like pastors to think about if they're listening to this and thinking, yeah, that might be a ministry that we could have? What would you encourage them with?
My encouragement would be to seriously pray about adding this or something like this as a ministry to your church, because I think a lot of us as pastors know that one area as Christians we struggle with is bearing each other's burdens.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that it says we're supposed to do that in Scripture. And there are a lot of believers who think that they're walking alone in this and they don't need to walk alone.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the simple ways that we can help them is providing them an opportunity to come together in a community for this. And if there are any pastors who would like to start something like this, just like Richard said earlier, we'd love to talk to them about it, just to share our experiences. They don't have to do the same thing we did. If they want to, we'd love to walk them through that. But if they just want to hear our experience, we'd love to talk to them, to have them call us so that we could share what we have learned, because it has been a learning process for mm-hmm. us. But I would encourage pastors to really pray about it and consider how this could help their people, help the people in their community, because I guarantee the same will be true for other pastors as was true for us, which is before we started this group, I didn't know how many people would, or these groups, I didn't know how many people would sign up, because again, it's something people bury and they don't talk about because they think they're alone. And then when people did start coming out to it, we realized there are all these hurting people and we just never realized it. I think pastors will be surprised when mm-hmm. they start something like this to see how many people were just waiting for this, for other people to come and bear their burdens with them.
And sometimes it is important to remember, friends, that there are people who really do care about you. And I like the fact that you mentioned to me, Richard, earlier in the break, that you have a way that people can contact you through the church's website.
Yes.
And send out a form. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, you can go to our church website, which is simply fbcoxfordfl.org. And they can go to our ministries tab and pull it down, and you'll see mental health ministry. They'll click on that. If they want information, there's a form there. They can fill it out. It comes directly to me. No one else sees it for confidentiality purposes. You can get me in the office there anytime. Our number is on the website as well, Monday through Thursday. And if it is an emergency, situation, call that office. And they'll get me no matter where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no time of day or night when mental health, you know, picks to trigger itself.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to make sure that we're there no matter what.
Now, we do hear these statistics that say that Christmas season is often a time where a lot of people who are dealing with especially depression, and I'm sure that you guys have found that to be somewhat true as well.
The highest, from what I understand, the last 12 years running, the highest suicide rate happens in the month of December.
Mm-hmm.
In our area, that's extremely prevalent because you have a lot of people who are now widows or widowers, and, you know, they don't have that, you know, maybe their family is back home up north or whatnot, and they just feel like that's it for them. So we try to do a lot of things around the holidays to make people feel like that they have, like this past year, we did actually Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving Day.
Which is a miracle with COVID.
Yes. we did it. I mean, it was very spread out. It was very hectic, but, you know, God won't ever put something before us that he doesn't already have a plan for. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage people that, you know, who are in our area, Oxford, you know, the Villages, Bellevue, if you don't have a home church and you're looking for one, come in here. One of the most dynamic people who I've ever heard speak, and Pastor Andrew, and that's putting a lot of pressure on him because I know he can handle it. He's just, his heart for service is just awesome.
Mm.
And, I, I count it a joy every day. I toured playing Southern Gospel music on the road, was never in the same place for many, many, many years. I never once envisioned myself being settled down at one place to just lead worship. And it is so much more than just leading worship. I get so much from this church, this family. So if you're looking for a family, come to our church.
I like that. And we appreciate the fact that you put that message on the air as well, so our friends throughout the region can actually tune in every Sunday morning and hear you guys at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. So that's awesome. And any final words? Can you give us the website one more time, if you will?
Yes. Yeah. The website one more time is fbcoxfordfl.org.
Wonderful. Andrew and Richard, Andrew Kropp, the senior pastor, Richard Alderman, who is the worship director. Thank you for coming in today.
And thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, this has really been a good discussion, and I trust that people are going to be helped and encouraged by some of the things that you guys are doing, because I think you're doing it right there, man. Way to go.
Appreciate that.
And friends, thanks for joining us on the program. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.
Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.